Microsoft hopes a new collaboration with the University of Wisconsin-Madison will give the company an edge in artificial intelligence. It's Friday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. And this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, how partisanship and partisan media is affecting our perceptions of reality. And our politics team takes a look at Wisconsin's response to the government shutdown. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Microsoft will give researchers at UW-Madison early access to a new artificial intelligence tool. It's designed to accelerate research and development. As Joe Schultz reports, UW-Madison is one of two universities in the country getting the technology.
Officials say the collaboration aims to speed up scientific research without losing accuracy. It builds on Microsoft's other partnerships in Wisconsin with Titletown Tech and the university system. Jason Zander is with Microsoft. He says the collaboration is unrelated to the company's ongoing data center projects in Wisconsin.
Our goal is to advance science as much as possible, and the best way to do that is to find state-of-the-art research that's being done, and that's why Madison is a great spot for us to land.
Two other data center developers also announced efforts aimed at supporting Wisconsin communities. That's as a new Marquette poll shows more than half of Wisconsin voters say the costs of data centers outweigh the benefits. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Environmental groups argue a federal permit issued for Ambridge's Line 5 reroute violates the law. But labor unions and business groups hailed the decision by the Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps issued a permit this week for Ambridge's plans to reroute its oil and gas pipeline around the Bad River Tribe's reservation. Environmental groups say the decision was premature and unlawful because a legal challenge to block state permits remains ongoing. Even so, Corey Gall with the Wisconsin Pipe Traders Association says he's pleased. He says the project would employ hundreds of their pipeline welders and workers.
And many of these men and women that work these pipeline jobs, they often travel very far from home, out of state. It'd be great to have another project within our state that will keep all these folks working close to home.
Ambridge says it's confident the permits for the project will be upheld. An attorney representing the tribe called the Army Corps decision short-sighted. A new poll of Wisconsin residents shows that questions about things like the cost of food have become heavily influenced by political partisanship. Rich Kramer has more.
Data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture showed supermarket prices in August were up around 3% compared to the same time last year. But when the Marquette University Law School asked Wisconsin voters this month about that, their answers depended heavily on their politics. 97% of Democrats said prices had gone up, but 46% of Republicans said they'd stayed the same or gone down. Marquette pollster Charles Franklin says public polling used to reflect economic reality, but that's changed in part because of the growth of partisan media sources.
Citizens have a much better chance of picking the news source that tells them what they want to hear now and emphasizes what they want to hear about.
Franklin said polling has also showed people's perceptions about the economy can change within weeks of their preferred candidate winning the presidency. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites prepare for their food benefits to be cut off, neighbors, charitable organizations, and businesses are stepping up to try and meet at least some of those needs. In the city of Fitchburg, south of Madison, one of those businesses is a restaurant called Ollie's. Chef David Heidi explains, for the foreseeable future, Ali's is offering pay what you can meals 3 days a week.
You can pay, you know, 50 cents or no cents or $15, like whatever you feel comfortable with.
Food share benefits will be halted on November 1st if a federal government shutdown continues. Roughly 1 in 8 Wisconsinites uses that federally funded food program. Wisconsin officials were focused on Washington this week and what the ongoing government shutdown could mean for hundreds of thousands of the state's residents who rely on food share. And about a year out from the next midterm election, the state's preeminent political poll took a look at what's on voters' minds. Here's WPR's Rich Kramer, Anyavin Wagtendonk, and Sean Johnson with this week's State Politics Roundup.
Rich, let's start with you. We have this rare situation next year with open races for governor and the state Supreme Court. Marquette University Law School took a look at what people think about those races right now, and it seems like they're not thinking about them too much.
That's right. Marquette pollster Charles Franklin even said it's a good reminder to political junkies like us that the average Wisconsinite just isn't politically engaged right now. In the race for governor, 70% of registered voters identifying as Republican don't know who they're going to vote for yet. 81% of those identifying as Democrats don't know. For Wisconsin's April Supreme Court election, respondents had even less familiarity with the candidates. We're talking between 84 and 86% unknown at this point.
All right, so with that huge grain of salt, there were some Republicans and some Democrats who did have opinions about the candidates for governor, at least. Can we say which candidates were faring well in those primaries?
So on the Republican side, those who have made a decision have a clear favorite. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany was way ahead of Washington County Executive Josh Shulman by a margin of 23% to 6%, respectively. The Marquette margins for 7 of the declared Democratic candidates in the race were much closer. 6% of Democratic respondents said they'd vote for progressive state representative Francesca Hong. 4% said they'd pick Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And 3% said they'd vote for Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and State Senator Calda Royce. That puts all of the results for those Democratic candidates well within the poll's margin of error.
And Marquette also asked about the big story that's happening right now, the government shutdown. Who do people blame for what's happening in Washington?
So we're going to look at all registered voters who responded to this question. 38% faulted Republicans in Congress for the shutdown. 33% blamed Democrats in Congress. Another 28% said they're all to blame.
Anya, you reported on this huge, looming, tangible effect of the shutdown that's coming right up if it's not resolved. What's happening with the program that many people may know as food stamps or SNAP?
Right. So SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Here in Wisconsin, it's called Food Share. And it's essentially a way of giving cash to low-income people to spend solely on groceries. And all that money comes from the federal government. Last week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which funds SNAP, said, quote, "the well has run dry." The agency is arguing that they can't fund the program this month because Senate Democrats won't support Republican spending bill. So in other words, SNAP has become this political football during shutdown negotiations. Meanwhile, about 42 million Americans use SNAP, including 700,000 Wisconsinites, more than a tenth of the state. And I spoke with a number of service providers from across the state who say if people don't receive their grocery benefits this month, they will need to turn to places like food pantries even more. And so those organizations are preparing for a real spike in need.
Are there any avenues for the state to intervene?
In theory, there are pots of money that exist at the state level. If lawmakers wanted to tap into those, the GOP-held legislature would need to pass an appropriations bill, and Democratic Governor Tony Evers would need to sign off on it.
So how likely is that?
It is looking unlikely. I reached out to GOP leaders about whether they'd go into special or extraordinary legislative session to do that. Didn't hear back, but Senate President Mary Felskowski has said elsewhere that she doesn't think lawmakers will do this and that she believes it's a federal issue. And Governor Evers, he also says that the solution is in Washington. He wrote a letter to the USDA secretary asking that agency to tap into federal contingency funds to keep the program going. And then earlier this week, Wisconsin joined a multi-state lawsuit demanding that they do so. But barring all of that, as you mentioned, this November 1st, which is Saturday, will be the first time in history that SNAP payments will lapse.
That was WPR's Anyavin Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, For Halloween, we've got a radio play from Wisconsin Life about a haunting.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. To celebrate Halloween, here's producer Maureen McCullum with a mini radio drama that takes place in Madison.
Spooky tales around Halloween have made their way into listeners' ears across the country since almost the birth of radio. In the spirit of this long tradition, we bring you The Haunting of the Orpheum Theater. Here's WPR's A. Emily Ralph.
It's a Friday night in October, and I'm on an American Ghost Walks tour in downtown Madison. This isn't for work or anything, just a normal Friday, but it really got me thinking. With so many reportedly haunted theaters here, I wanted to know which one was the most haunted. Built in 1926, the Orpheum seemed to call out to me, so I arranged to pay a visit. Looking up at this place, there's a feeling of unexpected time travel. Like, if you step in the wrong spot, you'd suddenly find yourself back in the roaring 20s. I've been here before, of course. There's a strong deja vu. Gives me shivers. Anyway, time to go inside. Hello? Hello?
Ah, yes, hello. You must be Emily. We've been expecting you. Let me show you around.
So excited to be. If the outside feels like time slipping, the inside is kind of overwhelming. I can almost see all the layers of moments here, stacked on top of each other like sedimentary rock. But instead of fossils, there are, of course, ghosts. Tonight, I'm hoping to find two of them, the original night manager and a head usher. I hear keys, but I can't see anything. I'll just put my gear down and fire up my spectral translator. Whoa. You are right there.
Oh, wait, you can see me?
Sure, I have this fancy deal I made.
Well, that's the cat's meow.
Thank you, I think so too. Okay, I have a few questions.
Why, certainly.
So you're the original night manager here?
I've always been the night manager.
So people know you for the sound of your keys. What's that about?
Well, you know, when you're bored and need to do something with your hands, and the noise is actually quite calming.
So interesting. Well, it was nice to meet you.
You too, Emily. Though, I think we'll be talking again pretty soon.
Emily, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? I hadn't read about any lady ghosts here. Okay, now let's see if we can find the usher. The legend is that he died falling from the balcony and spends all his time cleaning the floor where he fell. It's fascinating and horrifying, just the thought of being trapped in a loop like that, of doing the same thing over and over again forever. Ugh. Okay, I see a glow. Hello, are you the head usher?
I've always been the head usher.
Everyone keeps saying that. So my understanding is that you died here and just clean this spot every night? What's the deal with that?
Have you ever tried to get blood and popcorn oil out of a carpet?
Well, yes, once actually.
So you know it's basically impossible.
Sure, but... Wait, who is that?
Emily.
What's going on?
Can you hear me?
What's going on?
Can you hear me?
And after three full nights, that's as close as our radio team got to communicating with her. It's amazing. Every night since her death in 1947, Emily has wandered the theater's halls with her recorder, always in pursuit of that one last story. For Wisconsin Public Radio, this has been Emily and the Haunting of the Orpheum Theater. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
WPR's senior spooky correspondent, A. Emily Ralph, produced that story just in time for Halloween. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your Halloween forecast. Mostly cloudy and a little cool today with high temperatures in the 40s and 50s. Could see a little bit of light rain later on. That'll continue overnight. Slight chance for rain, otherwise cloudy for trick-or-treating with lows in the 30s. Over the weekend, highs in the 40s and 50s, and wind speeds start to pick up as well. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day, a happy Halloween, and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.